in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. And just appreciate him. You are enough. I want you to just lift up your hands and just worship him with a grateful heart. There is always something to thank God for. There is always something to thank God for. If you are mindful, you will be grateful. It says, "This I recall to mind." Lamentation 3:21. "This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope that it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. That his compassion they fail not." God is too faithful to fail. God has no track record of failing anybody, and is not planning to begin with us. Will you lift up your voice with a grateful heart? With a heart of gratitude, with a heart overflowing with thanksgiving, will you just go ahead and bless him? Just go ahead and bless him. The psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Just think of his divine benefit. Don't be forgetful of his divine benefit. Be reminded of his goodness. Be reminded of the past testimonies. Be reminded of his mighty acts, the things he has done for you. Go ahead and just bless him. Thank him for the gift of life. Thank him for his word, revelation, supernatural light, insight, instructions, divine instructions, impartations. Thank him for the transformations. Go ahead and bless him for the miracles, for his past works, his mighty works. Go ahead and bless him for his goodness, for his grace, for his faithfulness. Father, we are more than grateful. We thank you. Come on, bless him for his presence in our lives, his presence in AGMI, his presence. Go ahead and bless him. Honda Balasida Brandekeba Ligobo Shila Baligadai. Father, we are more than grateful. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Oh, Father, we acknowledge your presence in our midst. We are more than grateful for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your faithfulness demonstrated towards us in the first half of 2024. And we thank you for what you have done. And we thank you for what you are currently doing. And we thank you for that which you are set to do. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh ye people. I say clap your hands, oh ye people. I say clap your hands. Oh, come on, celebrate the Lord. Give the Lord a shout of praise. You might be seated in heavenly places. Help me welcome your neighbor to your right and to your left. Welcome your neighbor to our mid-year special Thanksgiving service. Help me ask your neighbor this question. Has God not been faithful? And what's the answer he gave? Or she gave? Hallelujah. See, never allow any devil or circumstances to convince you that God has not been faithful. The fact that you are still alive, the fact that you are here, the fact that you can even see me, is more than enough evidence. Hallelujah. It's more than enough evidence that God has been faithful. In fact, your life is a testimonial to God's faithfulness. Let me tell you, neighbor, are you aware that your life is a testimonial to the fact that God has been faithful? You are a living testimony of God's goodness. You are a living testimony of God's faithfulness. You see, the testimony session today was longer than usual, and intentionally so, because God has been faithful. There is nobody here. I know we had people that came out to testify, and we bless God for their lives. But if we are to probe every one of you, there is nobody without a testimony. Because God will never leave himself without a witness. That's the truth. Our beloved mommy and daddy, Mr. and Mrs. Gideon Vonkat, and their family, they came to testify. Mr. and Mrs. Gideon Vonkat celebrated. Today happens to be their 23rd year marriage anniversary. Is that not a test? Is that not enough reason to even celebrate? If we came here to hear only that testimony, is more than enough evidence that God has been faithful. Have you not heard of weddings that ended at reception? Eh? You've not? Some say it ended before honeymoon began. The marriage ended. Wedding that people ate rice, people dance, only to hear that, you know what, husband and wife, instead of honeymoon, they were throwing punches, throwing chairs. Am I communicating? And we have people that have been married happily for 23 years. They were testifying. Some of you were just looking. Some of you were just, oh, may God open your eyes. I say, may God open your eyes. God has been faithful. Celebrate them one more time. Happy 23rd anniversary to you, sir, to you, ma. We thank God for your life, and the Lord will do greater things. I'm going to pray for you. In fact, this morning I was telling my wife that I'm led to pray for them towards the end of the service, because it's a new season. The Lord says he's opening a book of remembrance. You are stepping into a new season as a couple and as a family, in the name of Jesus. We had a family of I shouldn't call him Reverend Doctor, but me, I must call Reverend Doctor David Shakur and Mrs. David Shakur. Hallelujah. You know, you hear them testifying. You know, among other things, there was something she said that struck me, that they noticed that they are experiencing more peace in their home. Now, some of you, you will not know how important that statement is until you are married. Am I communicating? Peace is priceless in marriage. Did you hear what I just said? There is no market where they sell peace. You can't buy it with money. You see, when we say the blessings of God, some of you think the blessings of God is only material things and money. Come on, wake up. Grow up. The immaterial blessings, they are far greater than the material and financial blessings. Can money buy peace? Go to Terminus Market with your money. Say they should sell you 5 mudu of peace. You are looking for where to buy 5 mudu.
I mean, there are blessings that money cannot buy. In fact, when I was reading, I was doing some study about money and wealth and all of that, and riches, I came across a statement that struck me, that got me thinking. And the statement is like this, that this is how they put it, the highest index used to measure wealth is peace. And it struck me, the highest index for measuring wealth is not how much is in your account. He said it is what? Peace of mind, peace in your heart. And the fruit of the spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. Don't be so poor that the only thing you have is money. You didn't hear me? I said, don't be so poor that the only thing you have is money. There are things money cannot buy. There are things greater than money. That's why I said the immaterial blessings are higher. Joy, for instance. How much can you pay for joy? And hope you know there is a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness depends on happenings. I say happiness depends on happenings. So when good things happen, people are happy. When things are not going the right way, people are no longer happy. So you can see that happiness is an emotion that depends on circumstances, external circumstances. Am I communicating? Happiness is circumstantial in nature, but joy is a fruit of the spirit, the recreated woman spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. So joy is not an emotion. Did you hear what I just said? Joy is not an emotion, it's a fruit of the recreated woman spirit. That is a fruit that your reborn woman spirit is bearing because of the union of the Holy Spirit with your woman spirit. Because the Holy Ghost is living in you, it produces that fruit called joy. Stop confusing the two. Happiness is not equal to joy. Joy is far greater than happiness. I say joy is far greater than happiness. So regardless of the happenings on the outside, you have joy inside you. Tell anybody you have joy. So you can be joyful in the midst of crisis. You cannot be automatically happy in a crisis, but you can be joyful. You know, happiness, it depends on what? Happenings, and it is an emotion. But joy is a fruit of the spirit. It does not depend on external circumstances. Happiness is conditional. Joy is unconditional. Are you seeing something? Glory to God. If you know how much people are looking for joy, how many homes are looking for joy, how many marriages are looking for joy, how many people, some people even commit suicide because they are searching for joy and the joy is nowhere to be found. Am I communicating? These are blessings that money cannot buy. What about the security of your life? Protect, divine protection and preservation. All those arrows they fired, that angels blocked them, Odeshi. You were not even aware. You were snoring on the bed. The enemy shot arrow. They fired arrow. Arrow of death. Arrow of this. And angels blocked it and returned it back to sender. And you did not even know. So you didn't even thank God for those ones because you were not aware. Am I communicating? That's why I said there are too many things to thank God for. Too many things. Are you aware that not all of us that entered year 2024, you know that crossover service, crossover night, that people stay awake to celebrate, they send text messages. Are you aware that there are some that cross over but are nowhere to be found? They are no longer alive today. But you are still alive. Tell your neighbor you are still alive. Is that not enough reason to thank God for the gift of life? Eh? For the gift of life. For the gift of life. Forget about whatever has not happened yet. What is important is that you are alive. And as long as you are alive, there is hope. Unto him that is joined to the land of the living, there is hope. A living dog is better than a what? A dead lion. Even if the armed robbers robbed you and stole your car, stole your money, stole everything, but as long as they did not take your life, is enough reason to thank God for. And because you are alive, you will get another car and another car and another car. It doesn't matter what they stole from you, as long the most important character is you. Have you ever watched a movie? Do you notice that the whole movie revolves around the actor? Have you noticed? I'm talking of a movie, not home theater, not home drama. Real movie. Do you notice the whole movie revolves around the actor? Remove the actor from the movie no go sweet again. Even you go say it no sweet. It is the actor that gives value to the car. It is the actor that that's the car he rode in the movie. It is the actor that gives value to everything else, including the cloth the actor is wearing. Okay, remove the cloth the actor wear. Let another person wear it. It will not mean much, because the central character is that actor. And as long as the actor is there, the movie is interesting. That is how the movie of life is. Tell your neighbor, as long as you are still here, the movie of your life is still interesting. Angels are watching. Oh, glory to God. There is so much to be grateful for. Joel chapter 1 verse 12. Joel chapter 1 verse 12. It's a double barrel service. Media thanksgiving service. And is a concluding part, the grand finale of our Flourishing in Famine teaching series. And in this concluding part, I'll be talking about flourishing in famine through the power of joyful praise and thanksgiving. Flourishing in famine, how? Through the power of what? Joyful praise and thanksgiving. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Joel chapter 1 verse 12. Praise and thanksgiving are prime activator of the blessing, and the blessing causes you to flourish supernaturally. The blessing causes you to be fruitful, to multiply, to prosper, to make progress. The blessing causes you to flourish like a palm tree. Hallelujah. And a major way you activate the blessings of God into manifestation is through joyful praise and thanksgiving. A very powerful key. Joel 1 verse 12. I trust God for speed. And by the time I start speeding, don't tell me to slow down. Hallelujah. Joel 1:12. He said, the vine is dried up. Watch this. The tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree. Even the palm tree also. What? Palm tree that doesn't easily dry up. That has a very long tap root system. But at this point, he said, everything is drying up. The apple tree, even all the trees, even all the trees of the field, they are withered. They have dried up. And what is a spot diagnosis? You know, in medicine, there's what we call spot diagnosis. Eh? They bring a patient, usually in medical clinical exam. The moment you see the patient, they will ask you, what is a spot diagnosis? For instance, just imagine a sickle cell anemia patient, a child with sickle cell disease, and then he has those peripheral, what do they call them? Those features of sickle cell anemia, from the shape of the head all those frontal bossing, you see the eyes jaundiced. Am I communicating? Gnanopathy, they call it gnanopathy, natopathy. And what else again? We have medical people here. Be mentioning those features now. Eh? You understand? The moment you see in pediatric, they ask you, what is your spot diagnosis? You've seen this patient. You say, okay, sickle cell disease. You say, okay, defend your answer, give reasons. Then you start moving stuff. Because the patient has this, he has that, he has that. So you start bringing out those features. Now he's saying that when you see all these things happening, everything drying up in your life, all the trees, your business drying up, your family drying up, your finances drying up, he said the spot diagnosis is that joy is withered away from the sons of men. Kai! Tell your neighbor, protect your joy. It doesn't matter what is not working in your life. Maintain your joyful spirit. Because when your joy is intact, and you let that river of joy flow out, it will force everything else to work. It's just a matter of time. The real battle is a battle against your joy. Satan likes to attack our joy. So he starts by attacking different areas of our life. And he wants us to plunge into discouragement. He wants to plunge you into depression. He wants to attack your joy. But tell your neighbor, for where it will not happen. Let the river of joy flow. Tell your neighbor, let the river of joy flow. And guess what? Your joyful spirit is what conditions the external happenings. Your joyful spirit, when you maintain it, is what will ultimately condition the external happenings in your life. It says the vine tree dried up, fig tree languished, pomegranate tree, the palm tree also. Don't be tempted when things are not working, when challenges come, financial problem, health problem, marital problem, problem in your career, job. Don't be tempted to start grumbling, murmuring and complaining. Maintain your joy. Am I communicating? He says, all the trees of the field are withered because joy is withered away from the sons of men. See, it does not matter what you have lost. If you have not lost your joy, everything else can be restored. You didn't hear me? I say it doesn't matter what you appear to have lost. As long as you have not lost your joy, your joyful spirit will what? Power them to walk. Am I communicating? It does not matter what is not working in your life. As long as your joy is working, that joy that is working will work out everything else. Am I communicating? Habakkuk 3:17. Flourishing in famine through the power of joyful praise and thanksgiving. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. Watch this, and that word blossom is one of the meaning of flourishing, right? Watch this. That's in case you say the month is about to end, but this flourishing, I know they see this prophetic word is not happening in my life. That's like a case scenario here. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine. In other words, no fruit, no fruitfulness, no flourishing. That may appear to be somebody's condition. No result. You are not seeing results the way you are supposed to. He said the labor of the olive shall fail. In other words, you are engaged in fruitless labor. He says, and the field shall yield no meat. Things are not working. He says the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. This is total agricultural failure. On the side of the crop, failure. On the side of the animal, failure. Am I communicating? Next verse. Watch how to handle it. Yet, tell your neighbor, yet, look at the resolve of this farmer, this businessman, that his business is not working. He said, yet. Hi. Joy is a choice. I said, rejoicing is a choice. He said, yet, I will. It's a matter of the will. It's a choice. It's a decision you must make. When things go wrong, don't go wrong with them. Am I communicating? It's a choice. He said, yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, my God. And look at the result, verse 19. He said, the Lord God is my strength. Remember, Nehemiah 8:10, he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So joy is a supernatural energizer. Joy is a divine strengthener. Joy, we infuse strength into you. Mental strength, spiritual strength, even physical strength. Do you notice that people that are always joyful are full of energy? Those that are always looking sad, depressed, discouraged, they lose energy. Am I communicating? When you are full of joy, you are lively, you are energetic, you are full of strength. He said, yet I will rejoice. And as a result of that decision to rejoice, what will happen? The Lord God is my strength. Supernatural strength is infused, is imparted, and he will make my feet like the hinds feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. Can you shout amen? In other words, my level will change. It will make me walk upon my high places. Mandabakasaya. You want supernatural change of story and situation and even level. Engage this key of joyful praise. It will provoke a supernatural dramatic turnaround. Am I communicating? Manda baroska branta kapa. Whatever is not working can be powered to work by engaging the key of joyful praise and thanksgiving. Glory to God. In Philippians 4 verse 4, Apostle Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say what? Rejoice. It's not tautology. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say. You know, they say the book of Philippians is the rejoicing chapter. If you count the number of times that word joy and rejoicing is highest in the book of Philippians, in the New Testament. And guess what? Paul wrote that letter. He wrote the book of Philippians. He wrote that letter to the church, the believers in Philippi, when he was in prison. One of the worst Roman prisons. He was in prison with chains, and yet he was telling them to rejoice. Somebody is in prison, incarcerated. He's telling people that are not in prison like him to rejoice. You don't understand. How can you explain it? Paul was inside prison. He was imprisoned for preaching the gospel. He was being persecuted. They put him, lock him up, and he's telling you that he's not inside prison to rejoice, because that is what he himself is doing. He's telling you what he is doing as a lifestyle. Tell your neighbor, rejoice! Rejoice in the Lord. He didn't say rejoice in the circumstances. You need to read Bible very well. You see, most of the time we are looking for external happenings before we can rejoice. He said, rejoice in the Lord. The fact that you are in the Lord is enough reason to rejoice. In fact, salvation and all the benefits of salvation is enough reason to keep rejoicing from now till eternity. And now, do you know all the benefits of salvation? It's not only to be enjoyed in this life. Oh, the Bible says throughout eternity, God will be showcasing the riches of his grace to us. And that is what we have when we got born again. Do you know what it means to be born again? The fact that you are born again, you are saved, you have received salvation, is enough reason to rejoice. You wake up in the morning, boah! You fire, thanksgiving mode activated. Before you go to bed, thanksgiving mode activated. You thank God in the morning, before you go to bed, you thank God when you wake up first thing. There will be no room for depression. Where can discouragement come from? Am I communicating? Rejoice in the Lord, not in the loss. Because some people, you lost your phone, you don't vex with God. You don't beef God because of phone. Rejoice in the Lord, not in the loss. You say you lost money. You lost money in business, you lost money in investment. Rejoice in the Lord, not in the loss. And when you rejoice in the Lord, the anointing for divine restoration of everything you lost will be activated. And that Lord that you are rejoicing in will cause you to receive a divine restoration of all that you are lost. You see, most at times we are so focused on the losses, we are so focused on what is not working, too focused. And you know, it was Pastor Mafeng, when he was giving that powerful exhortation, he made a statement that struck me. He said part of Satan's strategy is to keep you focused on the negatives. And that's one of the reasons why many people are not joyful, they are not praiseful, they are not thankful. They keep focusing their mind and attention, because that's Satan's strategy. He wants you to focus on all the negative things. I was surprised to discover something in the course of my research when I was preparing this message, that we have World Thanksgiving Day. How many of you know that there is such a thing as a World Thanksgiving Day? Yes. It's the fourth Sunday of November. Every fourth Sunday of November every year is tagged World Thanksgiving Day. For this year is 28th November. Okay? It's World Thanksgiving Day. Now, the organizers, the people that decide to put it that way, they put it that way, and then they ask a question. Do you notice that there is a World Thanksgiving Day, but there is no World Asking Day? There is a World Thanksgiving Day, but there is no World Asking Day. Why is it like that? Look at the reason. Because human beings don't need to be reminded to ask God or ask people for things, but they have to be reminded to thank. Are you seeing something? We have to be reminded to be thankful. We have to be reminded to give thanksgiving. But nobody needs to be reminded to ask God, Father, give me this, Father, give me that, Father, give me this. You understand? To build other people. Am I communicating? To ask people. Some people are no longer picking your call because the asking is too much. You understand? People have to be reminded to give thanksgiving, but they don't need to be reminded to ask for anything. So you have to be intentional. The way Pastor Nenkub said, one of the weakness of human being is that they forget easily what God have done. You have to constantly force your mind to remember. I'm going to give an assignment. You will do it today, you will do it here, then you will do it first thing when you wake up tomorrow. Tomorrow is 1st July, right? Because you will take quality time to just thank God. I say you will take quality time to just praise God. Minimize the give me, maximize the thank you. Am I communicating? I was teaching my son, Prince, some things. I said, from now henceforth, if they give you anything, and if you don't say thank you, we'll collect it back. He thought I was joking. So when I gave him meat, he didn't say thank you. I collected it back. Say, daddy, sorry. Okay, thank you. It's a mindset that I want to teach him. Because human beings are very ungrateful. Have you seen some people? You help them out of 10 things. You did 8 or 7 for them. The only 3 that you could not do at that point. They are angry with you because of those 3. But they have forgotten the 7. 7 over 10 is how many percent? 70%. Even in exam in school, 70% is what? But they will forget all of that. Is that not how we behave? Out of that, your 10 prayer points you wrote in January that God must do for you. God, by the time we get to December, you notice God have done 6 or 7. Remaining, Satan will now convince you to focus on the ones that God has not yet done. So you now forget all the one he has done. You forget all his benefits to the point that you are now angry with God. You are beefing him, making him look as if he has not been faithful. Look at how you have been deceived. Look at how the enemy has deceived you. Don't you know where you are in life right now is somebody's prayer point? You that is complaining of carryover, somebody's prayer point is, but just give me admission. You have forgotten to even thank God that you are a student. See, where you are is somebody's prayer point. As a parent, you are complaining that your child, this boy, they give me headache. This girl, no, they hear what? Somebody's prayer point is, father, somebody that is barren, just give me child, any type. Some are even visiting all manner of people, native doctor, all manner, some crazy prophet that say, come to the riverside, 5 a.m., I must bath you with one special soap. You want to be pregnant, you have to come. So you say, we'll give you this child. But this child, when the child is 13 years, when she is 13, we'll collect her back. Because now, mommy water spirit, we borrow her from mommy water, marine world. Once he's 13, we'll collect it by the woman. No problem. I don't suffer too much. People say I'm barren. They have mocked me. Let me just have my baby. I don't care. Just give me the child. Anyhow. Am I communicating? You should be thankful. There is always something to thank God for. I say there is always something to you are complaining that your husband is this, your wife is this, your husband, somebody is just praying to be married. I'm telling you, somebody is just praying, just father, anyone that comes. Don't do that typo. You understand? That is how some people have married devils. Tell your neighbor, be ever grateful, be ever mindful of the blessings of God in your life so that you can be ever grateful. There's always something to thank God for. I say there is always something to thank God for. I say there is always something to thank God for. Pastor Ini and his wife, Mrs. Ini, they were testifying here. Am I communicating? See what God have done. Said, she keep going to Jute up and down. Up and... There are people that went to Jute that did not come back alive. Are you aware? There are people that went to Jute and they ended up in the mortuary. Am I communicating? There is always something to thank God for. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Testimonies. There are no minor. Am I communicating? Be on the lookout. There are no small blessings. As long as it came from God, it cannot be small. There are no trivial testimonies. It may appear so in the eyes of men, but not in the eyes of God. Every act of God is supernatural. Every doing of God is great and it is marvelous in our eyes. Am I communicating? We easily take things for granted. For instance, some of you, when you woke up this morning, did you thank God for the gift of life? Are you aware? Just Google. Somebody should help me Google how many people died from yesterday night to today. Just Google. Tell me the value. So that you will understand some of these things. Please Google it and tell me how many people died within the last 24 hours. They slept like you yesterday night, but they did not wake up this morning. Never take anything for granted. Am I communicating? Please, if you get the value, tell me. Who has checked? Eh? How many people? 53. Eh? 53 what? Persons. Is there anybody else checking so that we'll compare the answers? Eh? This looks like it. Globally, around the world. 100 and what? 164,000 persons. 164,000 persons globally have died in the last 24 hours. Lift up your hands again. Can you just go ahead, bless God for the gift of life. Just thank Him for preserving you, for watching over you. Just go ahead and bless Him. Oh Father, we give you praise in Jesus' name. What is thanksgiving? Number one, I'll give you three definitions. Thanksgiving is the expression of heartfelt gratitude and appreciation to God for who He is, what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will yet do. Thanksgiving is the expression of heartfelt gratitude
and appreciation to God for who he is, that's his nature and character, come on, what he has done, what he is doing in the now, and what he will yet do. Psalm 100 verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless him. In other words, thanksgiving is the protocol for assessing the manifest presence of God. Thanksgiving is what? The protocol. Am I communicating? It is the protocol and the password. Give me message translation. It uses password. It says use the password. Enter the password. Thank you. Glory to God. Thanksgiving is the protocol and password for assessing the manifest presence of God. Enter with the password. Tell your neighbor, enter with the password, which is thank you. Say thank you, Jesus. Make yourself at home talking praise, thank him, worship him. Then also write Psalm 105 verse 1 to 3, Psalm 107 verse 22, Psalm 116 verse 17. What is thanksgiving? Number two, thanksgiving is acknowledging and giving God glory for his acts and doings in our lives. Romans 4:20. Thanksgiving is acknowledging and giving glory to God for his acts and his doings in our lives. Romans 4:20, concerning Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And how did Abraham give glory to God? Psalm 50 verse 23, whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me. And thanksgiving is an expression of praise. So you glorify God by giving him praise. Psalm 50 verse 23, whosoever offered praise glorified me. Am I communicating? Number three, what is thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is magnifying the Lord. Magnifying the Lord. Not magnifying the problem. Not magnifying the circumstance. Okay? So you magnify the Lord with your thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is magnifying the Lord and celebrating him for his faithfulness, goodness, grace, and mercy towards us. Psalm 69 verse 30. Thanksgiving is magnifying the Lord and celebrating him for his faithfulness, his goodness, his grace, and mercy towards us. When you focus on the problem and magnify the problem will appear bigger than it is, and it will plunge you into discouragement and depression. But when you focus on the Lord and magnify him, solution, light, and the Lord will intervene, solution will come. Am I communicating? You know the principle of a magnifying glass? It has to do with focus. Whatever you focus on is magnified. So you focus on the Lord. Stop focusing on the problem. Stop focusing on the mountain. Focus on him and magnify him. That was what David did when he stood before Goliath. Did you notice David did not magnify Goliath with his words? He didn't. Rather, he was magnifying the Lord. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God? So I will cut off your head and I will give it to the carcasses of the birds of the air. I will give your carcasses to the birds of the air. And then he said, and all the earth, everyone here, we know that there is a God in Israel. He was magnifying the Lord. No wonder the Lord backed him up and he was able to defeat Goliath. And we praise the name of God with a song and magnify him how? With thanksgiving. God is too faithful to fail. Tell your neighbor, God is too faithful to fail you. He has no track record of failing anybody, and he won't start with you. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. One of God's name is faithful. One of Jesus' name is faithful in the book of Revelation. God is not just faithful. Faithful is his name. God is not just a good God. Goodness is a part and parcel of him. Are you getting my point? You know, when good things happen to us, we say God is good. Then when bad things happen, that God is good will come out, it will leave our mouth. Now listen, God is not good because good things happen to you. He is good because that is his nature. Regardless of your experience, it does not change who God is. Goodness is a core attribute of God. You need to understand who he is. Hallelujah. He is faithful. I say he is faithful. Amen. He is faithful. Even if you've not eaten today, he is faithful. Yes, even if your bank account is in red, he is faithful. Yes, even if you collected loan, the loan people are disturbing you. They are sending message to all the people that know you. God is still faithful. Yeah. Debt or no debt, God is faithful. Yes, am I communicating? Even if you trek to service, God is faithful. At least you have leg. There are people that have car, but they have no leg to drive the car. Are you getting my point? God is faithful. God is faithful. Don't allow any devil to convince you that God is not faithful. God is faithful. I say God is faithful. I say God is faithful. What are the ways we express thanksgiving to God? How do you thank God? What are the ways to express thanksgiving to God? How do you thank God? The first one is what I call verbally. Okay? You express thanksgiving verbally. Verbally. Under verbally, number, do you call it A? A. Through your words of praise from a grateful heart, through your words, the words of your mouth. Say, oh, Father, I thank you. For this, for that, for that, for that. I thank you. I praise you for who you are, what you've done. And then you start mentioning those things specifically that he has done for you. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for health. Thank you for provision. Thank you. Am I communicating? For joy, for peace. Thank you for your blessings in my life. Thank you for the blessings that money cannot buy. Am I communicating? For protection, for preservation. So you, through the words of your mouth, thank you for my husband, thank you for my wife, thank you for my children. Am I communicating? Is it all my mates? When you are saying all my mates, don't marry. I still stay here. They do chief bridesmaid. Hope you know there are some of your mates that are in the grief. Am I communicating? So through the words of your mouth, words of praise and gratitude. Still under verbally, B. By singing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. You express thanksgiving to God by singing psalms, hymns and what? spiritual songs. I think it's Colossians 3:16, right? Colossians 3:16, then we'll come to Ephesians 5:18. Colossians 3:16. By singing, another way you express thanksgiving is by singing. Glory to God. You sing psalms to God. You sing hymns to God. You sing spiritual songs to God. Okay? Am I communicating? Someone say we shouldn't chant again. Nalayo. We must chant. Am I communicating? We chant in thanksgiving to God. Glory to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In what? In psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. He said, and be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but be filled with what? The Spirit. And what will happen? He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. He didn't say complaining, grumbling, and murmuring. He says singing and making melody. You learn to sing to the Lord. Hallelujah. Number what now? C. Say the number one way you express thanksgiving is verbally, through the words of your mouth, by singing psalms, hymns, and what? Spiritual songs. Edifying songs, not secular, all these secular songs. Am I communicating? Maybe we'll be checking people's phone. One day we will come for service. Submit all your phone. We'll collect it and then we'll check it. Phone check service. Phone check time. If we catch any. But some Christians, if you go through their phone, you go almost swear, say they're no born again. Kind of things you will see. Am I communicating? Sing unto the Lord. Then what? See, right? Through laughter and shouts of joy. I say through laughter and shouts of joy. The voice of thanksgiving, the voice of rejoicing. He says, sing unto the Lord and shout. In fact, by making joyful noise. Yes. Another way is by making joyful noise. It's part of it. The Bible says, even noise is acceptable to God, provided that there is joy inside. He said, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Some of you only make joyful noise when you are watching football and your team score. You come to church, you feel like your face as if the whole world collapsed on your head. Am I communicating? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Psalm 46 verse 1, he said, clap your hands, O ye people. He said, shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. 47, Psalm 47 verse 1. So, another way you express joyful praise is by laughter. When you are full of the Holy Ghost, you laugh. You laugh in the Spirit. There is such a thing as laughing in the Spirit. It's an expression of what? Joyful praise. Just like when you see a drunkard full of alcohol, kind, kind. How do they say it in your area? Eh? Sapele water. Eh? Somebody say is it kunu manya? How do they say it? That is senior men drink. You understand? When you see a serious drunkard coming from a drinking joint, maybe Brukutu joint, you see them. You see them singing some songs to themselves. They are singing and making melody in their hearts.
Because they are high on alcohol. The alcohol is dictating a song that only them are hearing. You are not hearing the song. So you don't know what you are missing. As far as they are concerned, you don't know why. They see you walking normally. They wonder why you are this normal. You are not enjoying what they are enjoying. Are you seeing something? So that's how it is when you are full and drunk in the spirit. You sing, you make melody. There is this joyful praise, there is laughter. Am I communicating? D is still under verbally, verbal expression of thanksgiving, testifying. Can we celebrate all the testifiers? Now listen, this is an often trivialized or neglected way we express thanksgiving to God. Learn to share your testimony. Very important. Now, sharing testimony is not to prove that a man of God is anointed. See, it's far beyond that too. Thanksgiving, sharing testimony to express thanksgiving to God is very important. Can you remember when Jesus in Luke 17, 11 to 19, he was passing through lepers' village. 10 lepers cried to him, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us, heal us." Jesus, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." He gave them a divine instruction. As they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed of what? Leprosy. But out of that 10, 9 neglected to return to God praise and thanksgiving. They were ungrateful. Only one, when he saw that he was cleansed, the Bible says with a loud voice, he gave God glory. I meditated on that. The Holy Spirit told me the voice of appreciation must be louder than the voice of supplication. Most of us is the other way around. Our voice of supplication is louder than appreciation. You will shout, "Cry, Father, do it." By the time God does it, you don't even remember to thank him. Don't be ungrateful. He said with a loud voice, he returned to God the glory. And Jesus said, "Were they not 10 that were cleansed?" In other words, Jesus was expecting them to come back to give thanks to God. He said, "Only this Samaritan came." He said, "Therefore, be made whole." In other words, his healing graduated to wholeness. You know, a leper can be healed, but all those deformities and even the limbs they have lost, am I communicating? You know, leprosy can deform people. Auto amputation, part of their limbs can be missing. Are you getting me? Deny they were healed. They were just healed. But they still had those deformities. Those missing parts are still missing. But this one that returned to give God thanks, God graduated his own from just healing to wholeness. Wholeness means every part that was missing, every part was restored. The missing limb were recreated. Am I coming? Any part, whether it's ear or any part that is missing, supernaturally created. So thanksgiving will perfect your blessing. Thanksgiving will preserve your blessing. Am I communicating? While I was preparing for the service, the Holy Spirit said I should tell somebody here that if you will only thank me, God said, if you will only thank me, if you will only thank me, he said, I will complete what I have started in your life. I heard it very clearly. He said, tell them, if you will only thank me, he said, I will bring to a speedy completion. I don't know what project God have started in your life. I don't know what God have started doing, that I prophesy to every unfinished project, every uncompleted project, whatever God have started, he said, he that has begun the good work, he shall bring it to a speedy completion. I prophesy, as you decide to praise God, as you decide to give him thanksgiving from a grateful heart, the Lord is bringing everything to a speedy completion. In the name of Jesus, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation, his hand shall also finish it. I prophesy, receive the finisher's grace. Receive grace to finish that project. That house you started building, you will finish it. That business you started, that proposal, it will go through. It will be completed. In the name of Jesus. If you will only thank him, he will bring it to a speedy completion. So learn to share your testimonies. Make known Psalm 105 verse 1. Make known his deed among the people. Glory to God. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds. What have God done for you? Make known his deed. God doesn't want you to hide his doings in a corner. Mm-mm. Testify publicly. Publicly. Am I communicating? Among the people. I was so surprised. You know, if you have this free-to-air decoder, you will see all those plenty Ghanaian channels. You will see native doctors. They are no longer in the shrine. They coming out boldly on TV. And then they have testifiers to validate what they are doing. I said, look at this. I was telling my, look at this madness. Oh. Satan's agents are boldly coming out, and they even have people testifying, and the people of God are ashamed to testify of what God is doing in their lives. You see them coming out boldly. You need 1 million naira? Just come with 10,000. I will double it for you. I will multiply it. You see them speaking with audacity. Are you looking for a husband? I will give you one. Just call my number. They will put the phone number there. You need good luck? You need love portion to get husband, to get wife. Tell your neighbor, never be ashamed to testify to the goodness of God. Never. So the first way you testify is verbally, through all this method we've listed. The second one is the non-verbal method. The non-verbal method include dancing. Hey, who came with their dancing shoe? Shortly we are going to dance and rejoice. Next, clapping, dancing, clapping, jumping, kneeling, prostrating, rolling on the ground, anyone that works for you to express the gratitude, the thanksgiving in your heart. Then you can write Psalm 150:1-6, Psalm 150:1-6, Psalm 47:1. Also, the use of musical instruments to praise God. The use of musical instruments, okay? Your drums, your keyboards, strings instrument, wind instrument, all manner of things is part of it. With tabret, with pipe, trumpet, guitar, etc. Psalm 92:1-3. Psalm 33:2-3. Psalm 144:9. The use of musical instrument. You can use it to praise and thank God. Then the third method by which you give God, you express your thanksgiving to God, is through the act of giving God thank offering. That's thanksgiving offering. The act of giving God thank offering, or you can call it thanksgiving offering. First Chronicles 16:29. If you are truly thankful to God, you will give him a thanksgiving offering. It's called a thank you offering. Am I communicating?
is one of the ways we express our thanksgiving to God. That's why we usually encourage testifiers to package a thanksgiving offering to honor God with anytime you are coming to testify. It's one of the ways we express our thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And that is why I announced that today we'll be taking a special thanksgiving offering apart from our regular worship offering. Praise God. We don't usually do this. We do it during Thanksgiving service. You don't come and thank God empty. No, you can't be truly grateful and you not express it by giving God a Thanksgiving offering. Praise God. I say praise God. He said, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering. Did you see that? So as you are glorifying God, he said, bring an offering. Come before him, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Then Psalm 66 verse 13. Psalm 66 verse 13. I will go into the house, into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. Next verse. It says, which my lips have uttered, my mouth had spoken when I was in trouble. Glory to God. I will offer unto thee what? Burnt offerings of fatling with incense of ram. I will offer bullocks with what? Goats. So you thank God verbally, non-verbally, and then by giving him a thanksgiving offering. Now take note of the following important things about thanksgiving. I wrote about seven important things about thanksgiving. I will read through them. You get this message and re-listen to them and re-listen to the message. It says, number one, seven important things to note about thanksgiving. Number one, we don't only thank God for what he has done, but we thank God for who he is. We don't only thank God for what he has done, that is his mighty acts, his works and all of that. We thank him for who he is. That's his person. We thank him for his nature. We thank him for his character. We thank him for his attribute. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is full of compassion. The Lord God is faithful. God is good. We thank him for his goodness, his mercy, his faithfulness. Am I communicating? His compassion. He is a gracious God. These are his nature. See, if you know who God is, you will never complain about him for the rest of your life again. If you really understand his nature, regardless of your experience, regardless of your circumstance, you will never be doubted to blame God. You know, there are people that blame God because they are using the negative, contrary circumstances around them to judge the faithfulness of God. You are using a wrong parameter. It means you don't know him. Am I communicating? When you know his unfailing love, when you know his goodness, you know his mercy, you know his faithfulness, you know his compassionate heart, you will never ever blame him. Never. You will never doubt him again. So that's the first thing. Number two, thanksgiving is God's will. Thanksgiving is God's will for you in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He says, in everything, give thanks. Thanksgiving is God's will for you in all circumstances. Any day, anytime, anywhere. Thanksgiving is the will of God. There is no argument about that. It says in everything. It didn't say for everything. No. It said in everything. Listen. You may be in crisis. Troubles may come. Bad things may happen. He's saying that even inside the bad situation, give God thanks. Are you getting this? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So he said, the will of God for you is that you should give thanks in everything. You should give God thanks regardless of your circumstance, regardless of the situation you find yourself. Of course, God is not the author of negative circumstances.
is not the cause of your problem, is not the one that brought the trials and tribulation. But he said, even in the midst of that trial and tribulation, the will of God is that you should give God thanks for who he is, not just for what he does, for who he is. Am I communicating? Then Ephesians 5 verse 20. So learn to normalize thanksgiving as a lifestyle. I say normalize thanksgiving as a lifestyle because it is the will of God. He said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of Jesus. Watch this. Giving thanks always for all things. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Giving thanks. How often? Did he say occasionally? This is the will of God. Then you can write down John 6:5-13. Go home and read it. John 11:41-44. Go home and read it. And it is said that most of the time when they say go home and read it, most people don't go home and read it. That's why sometimes preachers will insist we must read it in church. Because research have shown that majority will not go home and read it. Tell your neighbor, not me. I will go home and read this one. I say John 6:5-13. John 11:41-44. Number 3. Thanksgiving is not optional, but it is a debt that we owe God. We saw it in the story of the 10 lepers that God healed. Only one returned to give God glory, and Jesus commended him and perfected his healing. Thanksgiving perfects and preserves God's blessings bestowed upon our lives. Thanksgiving is not optional, but it is a debt we owe God. Are you aware that you owe God the debt of thanksgiving? Are you aware that for everything God does, Jesus expects that you should come and return thanks to him? You should come and give him thanks. You should appreciate him. Am I communicating? I learned a secret from Pastor E. Adeboye. After every meeting, every service, he will go and thank God. He will go and pray. He will tell you he's going to pray after every, and that prayer is thanksgiving. Oh, he will go and thank God. After Lekki 98, an historic meeting that entered Guinness Book of Record. It was an all night Lekki 98. Go and Google about it. Over 7.2 million people, even BBC, recorded over 7.2 million people that gathered in one place, in one meeting. Is that not the largest gathering in history? Is there any gathering that is more than that? Lekki 98. It is said that after the meeting, 3 days after the meeting, traffic, they were still trying to clear traffic. 3 days after the meeting, it took 3 days for them to be able to clear all the traffic in Lagos. Hold up everywhere. 7.2 million. He said, Pastor E. Adeboye said, the things God did in that meeting. He said, when he went back after the meeting, he was just thanking God and praising God. He just heard God's voice. The Lord told him he should draw on the ground the picture of a man. He said he's not a very good artist, so he just tried to draw something like zero as the head. Dot, dot, you know the way those cartoons are. Then he put like this for hand, then like this for leg. On the sand, though, he drew it. Then he said he was afraid because he knew God was about to say something. Then the Lord told him he should wipe it off. He should clean it. That picture of a man he drew. He then wiped it off. Then the Lord told him, the day you forget that I am the doer of all these things you are seeing in your life and ministry, he said, that is how I will wipe out your name as if you never existed. He said he became afraid of God that day. When you see him humble, humility is a product of revelation. Some people are still proud because they don't know God yet. Am I communicating? So God doesn't want you to forget that he is the doer. It's not just your effort. It's not your wisdom. Calm down. There are people working harder than you. Pushing wheelbarrow, carrying concrete. It's not just by hard work alone. Am I communicating? Recognize God's grace. Be intentional about remembering, recalling, and recognizing all that God has done for you. Be intentional. Be mindful. Forget not His blessings and His benefit bestowed on you. Genuinely acknowledge and appreciate the Lord for everything, including the gift of life. Thank Him not just for the material and financial blessings. Thank Him for the immaterial blessings that money cannot buy, that He has blessed you with. Be on the lookout for even the minutest or the seemingly smallest acts of God in your life, and appreciate Him for them. Listen, I said it before, I'm repeating it again. There are no small testimonies. I said there are no small testimonies. There are no minor acts of God. Every act of God is great. Never trivialize anything God does for you. Keep a gratitude journal. Take a stock of all your testimonies. Count your blessings, name them one by one, the hymn writer says, and be grateful for them. Am I communicating? Number four, thanksgiving is a supernatural multiplier. I think it was Minister Rachel Shippey that said that when she was leading worship. How true. Thanksgiving is a supernatural multiplier. It will multiply the blessings in your life. See, anything God has blessed you with, when you thank Him for it, it is multiplied supernaturally. Jeremiah 30 verse 19. As long as you will thank and praise God for His blessings in your life, it will never finish. Thank God for that last one cup of rice in your house, He will multiply it. Thank God for that last 2 naira 3 kobo that is in your account, He will multiply it. Am I communicating? Don't grumble, don't murmur, thank Him. Be grateful. Because thanksgiving is a multiplier. Look at it. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And as a result, I will multiply them. It's a supernatural multiplier. Because thanksgiving will activate the blessing of the Lord. And the blessing of the Lord will bring about what? Supernatural multiplication, supernatural increase, supernatural fruitfulness and growth. Exponential growth, astronomical increase. These are all results of the blessing. And thanksgiving will activate the blessing, bringing about supernatural multiplication. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. I will multiply them, they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Jesus and His disciples, they were faced with a dilemma of feeding a multitude, 5,000 men minus women and children. If you add women and children, Bible scholars say it's close to 20,000 people. Because the Jews, they give birth a lot. It's as if they are in a breeding program. They don't know anything like contraceptive. Contracept what? The Jews? The only one they know, be fruitful, multiply. The blessing of Abraham. That's the only one they know. If you go and market contraceptive, you're on your own. So now they were faced with this Herculean task. And the Bible says Jesus knew what He would do. And what was God's wisdom to solve that problem? It's thanksgiving. They told Him there is a young lad here that had his lunch. 2 small fishes, 5 loaves of bread. Jesus took it. Oh, somebody said, but what is this among so many? What is this among so many? You need 2.5 million and you prayed, only 10,000 came. And then you attempted to ask, what is this among so many needs? Calm down, calm down. Tell your neighbor, calm down. You know, sometimes when you ask God for 10 million, He will start by giving you 10,000 to check your attitude. But many people don't pass that test. They will start grumbling, complaining. Person need 10 million. What was this 10,000? What will 10,000 do? What will be even 10,000? You have failed the test. But if you thank God for it, it will multiply it. You keep thanking, it will keep multiplying. You keep thanking, it will keep multiplying until the 10 million comes. The flow of the blessing stops the moment you stop thanking God. Jesus took that 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. He didn't complain, he didn't murmur, he didn't grumble. He gave God thanks. And when he gave God thanks, what happened? Thanksgiving activated the blessing, and there was supernatural multiplication. And he fed that multitude of over 20,000 people, and they took up how many baskets left over? How many? The fragments that they gathered. There was overflow. So from scarcity to abundance, what was the connecting key? Somebody say thanksgiving. Thanksgiving will move you from the realm of not enough to the realm of more than enough. 5 loaves, 2 small fishes, fed multitude with 12 baskets left over. Who do you think they gave that 12 basket left over to? That remained. Who do you think they gave it to? You think it's Judas? Who do you think they gave it to? That little boy who, you know, he sowed his lunch as seed. As long as he had remained, seed time. How did his harvest come? 12 baskets. Imagine his parents see him coming with 12 baskets. Ah, where did you get this one? He said, Mommy, that little lunch you gave me, I gave it to Jesus. And Jesus multiplied. Can you shout amen? Amen. Thanksgiving is a multiplier. It's a multiplier. Never be tempted to complain. It activates the blessing. The blessing brings about multiplication, fruitfulness, increase, growth. Appreciation is application for more. You may want to write down that. Write down that. Appreciation, that's thanksgiving. Appreciation is application for more. Anything you thank God for genuinely cannot finish. It will keep flowing. Joyful praise provokes the flow of the blessing. Joy is the sequel for the harvest. It says, through joy you shall what? Draw water from the wells of salvation. Joy is a fetcher. Joy is a sequel for the harvest. Glory to God. Psalm 67, verse 5. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. And what will be the result? Let all the people praise thee. Then, somebody say, then shall the earth yield and increase. And God, even our God, shall bless us. So praise will activate the blessing. And then what will be the result? Verse 7. It says, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. It will launch you into the realm of fearful blessings. Number 5, thanksgiving activates the anointing. It provokes the release of fresh oil, the flow of fresh oil. Psalm 92, 1-3. Thanksgiving provokes the miraculous into manifestation. Gratitude is the secret of ceaseless flow of grace. An attitude of gratitude is the secret of ceaseless flow of grace. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, thy faithfulness every night. Next verse. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery and the harps, and with a solemn sound. Now jump to verse 10. Look at the result of this thanksgiving and praise. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Most of the time we read just this verse 10, and we don't start the reading from verse 1, forgetting that the key to verse 10 is in verse 1-3. Am I communicating? When you give God thanks and praise him, you activate the release of the grace and the anointing.
the release of fresh oil. So praise provokes the flow of fresh oil. Am I communicating? The key to the fresh oil in this context is praise. It provokes the miraculous into manifestation, including the power of resurrection. In John 11:40-44, when Jesus gave thanks, Lazarus came forth. Jesus, Lazarus had died for 4 days. He was now stinking. Jesus stood by the grave. He said, "Roll away the stone." And guess what Jesus said? Guess what he said? He said, "Father, I thank you because you have heard me." Somebody say thanksgiving. And when Jesus did, it activated the power of resurrection, and Lazarus came back to life. Glory to God. I don't know what has died in your life. It can resurrect as you choose to give God thanks and to praise him. The anointing, the power of resurrection will be activated, and everything dead will come back to life in the name of Jesus. Praise is the believer's voice of victory. In 2 Chronicles 20 verse 21 to 24, you will see how the children of Judah, the Levite and all of that, appointed by the king Jehoshaphat, as they began to praise God and to bless his name, the Bible said the Lord set ambushment and they received supernatural victory. You will see in Isaiah 38:18-22 how King Hezekiah, he praised his way out of debt. He overturned a death sentence through the key of what? Praise. He said, "The dead do not praise thee. Those that go down to the grave, they don't celebrate thee." Hallelujah. That's Isaiah 38:18-22. He said, "Only the living." See, even if doctors tell you your prognosis that you are going to die in the next so month, or this is your disease in the next few months or few years, the prognosis is that you will die. If you learn to do what Hezekiah did, that death sentence will be cancelled. You can overturn and cancel every death sentence and terminate it when you learn to thank and praise God. Look at what Hezekiah said. He was battling a terminal illness. Even the anointed prophet Isaiah had told him that he should put his house in order, that he's going to die. Look at what he said. "For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee." He said, "They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth." Next verse. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Can you see that? "As I do this day, the father to the children shall make known thy truth." Next verse. "The Lord was ready to save me." See, when you praise God, deliverance will come. Deliverance from affliction, deliverance from sickness and disease, deliverance from death. Every death sentence, "The Lord was ready to save me, therefore we will sing my songs to the string instrument all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." Can you shout amen?
Amen.
So this is very powerful. Number six, praise and thanksgiving are major weapons of our spiritual warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3-5. And part of the weapons of our warfare, in fact, a major weapon of our warfare is what? Praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 149 verse 5. "The toughest battles, they bow to praise. The wall of Jericho came crashing down at the shout of praise." At the shout of praise by the children of Israel, the toughest battle bow to praise. It is a divine strategy for victory in warfare. You use praise as a weapon. You remember Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail in Acts 16? They praise and they thank God. What happened? An earthquake, and all doors were open, everyone's bands were loosed, and deliverance came. Hallelujah. You can come out of every prison when you learn to praise God. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Next verse. It says to execute vengeance upon the hating, punishment upon the people. To bind their kings with chain, their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all is saying, praise ye the Lord. So it's a weapon. You learn to fight in spiritual warfare. You engage the power of praise and thanksgiving, and then victory is guaranteed. Then number 7, the last one, praise and thanksgiving are a divine strategy for the fulfillment of divine prophecies. Praise and thanksgiving are a divine strategy for the fulfillment of God's prophecies and promises in your life. In 2 Chronicles 20, if you read from verse 1 to 24, God had given them a prophetic word. He said, the Lord will fight for you. You don't need to fight in this battle. He will fight for you. You will get the victory. And what was the key? What was the key to the fulfillment of that prophetic word? What was the key that activated that prophecy to manifestation? It was praise. When they began to sing and to praise, prophecy got fulfilled. The children of Moab, Ammon, and Monsia, three nations that ganged up against Judah, the Bible says confusion broke out in the camp of the enemy. They began to kill themselves. Glory to God. So it's a strategy for fulfillment of prophecy. So it's not only prayer that you pray to activate prophecies into fulfillment. You engage the key of what? Praise and thanksgiving. 4 enemies of thanksgiving that you must eradicate from your life totally. 4 enemies. Number 1, the habit of forgetting what God has done for you in the past. Forgetfulness. In Psalm 103, verse 1 to 3, the first enemy you must eliminate is what? The habit of what? Forgetting what God have done for you in the past. You must not forget His blessings. Don't forget His benefit. Don't forget divine help, the help of God. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Next verse, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Tell your neighbor, forget not. Forget not all His benefit. Remember them, recall them. Lamentation 3:21, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope, that it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. His compassion, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentation 3:21-23. Say, I refuse to forget. Don't be a victim of forgetfulness. Number 2, discontentment. The second enemy of thanksgiving is discontentment. 1 Timothy 6 verse 6. Discontentment means dissatisfaction with what God has done for you. That you are dissatisfied. Maybe probably because you trivialize His blessings in your life. You trivialize His doings in your life. Or because of unmet expectations, you have now become a victim of discontentment. This is the second reason why many people are not grateful. They are not thankful. Discontentment. 1 Timothy 6, 6. But godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Next verse. For we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we carry nothing out. Next verse. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be what? Content. Be contented with your life. Don't trivialize anything God does for you.
Am I communicating? Discontentment is closely related to the next key, which is comparison and competitive spirit. Comparison and competition is the next enemy of thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians 10:12. He said, they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. Avoid the foolishness of comparison. As long as you keep comparing your life to the life of others who appear to be doing better than you, you will never be grateful. You cannot be grateful. As long as you are in the business of competition with others. They bought phone. You too, you want to buy new phone. They bought iPhone. What's the latest iPhone now? iPhone 15. Is it Pro Max? They bought iPhone 15 Pro Max. Immediately, you started hating your own iPhone 14. Comparison. Competition. My friend don't marry. Me too, I must marry this year. Calm down. Before you go marry devil, calm down. Comparison. In fact, it's one of the reasons many people are discontented. You see, one of the causes of discontentment is comparison. Always comparing. Jesus said, a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Calm down. Your life is far more important than those things. Your life is more important than money. Calm down. Praise God. Nothing is small. Oh, God spoke to me. He told me this. Nothing is small until it is compared. Nothing is small until it is compared. The acts of God, the doings of God in your life is not small. The problem is you are comparing it with other people. You are comparing your life with others. That's the source of your depression. It's not because God has not been faithful. Resist the urge and temptation to always compare what you have with what others have. Resist that urge or temptation to always compare your life with the life of others. Understand God's unique plan and purpose for your life. Stop comparing yourself with others. Stop comparing your result with those of others who appear to be doing or faring better than you. That they appear to be doing better than you does not mean they are doing better than you. Is it not God that has the marking scheme? You focus on your life. Run your race. God is the judge. God is the one. He is the only person that has the correct parameter for measuring success. See, the world's parameter is different from God's parameter. The way the people of the world judge life and the outcome of life is different from God's yardstick. Okay, their parameters and yardstick is different from that of God. Am I communicating? So you cannot afford to be comparing, contrasting. It will make you ungrateful. Say, I will not be a victim of comparing and competing with anybody. The only person you should compete or compare is with your previous self. Compare your today with your yesterday. Am I communicating? Compete with yourself. Seek to outdo yourself. Seek to outdo your past. Keep growing. Keep improving. Push yourself. Don't compare yourself with anybody. Focus on what is working in your life and be genuinely grateful for it. When you do so, God will sort out the rest and work them out in your favor. Then the last one, ingratitude. Now, number one, what is the first enemy of thanksgiving that you must eradicate completely? The habit of forgetting what God has done for you in the past. Number two, discontentment. Number three, comparison and competitive spirit. That's competition. Now, these first three, number one, number two, number three, they will result in this number four, ingratitude. Yes, it's the culmination of number one to three, ingratitude. The nine lepers that were cleansed by Jesus in Luke 17, 11 to 19, that refused to come and give God thanks. They didn't come to thank and appreciate God. They were victims of ingratitude. They were suffering from ingratitude. They had this entitlement mentality, because the only one that came was a Samaritan. The rest were Jews. So they were not grateful. And if you are not grateful, you can't be thankful. Ingratitude is the major cause of unthankfulness. Refuse to be a victim of ingratitude. There is always something to thank God for. Look out for it. Search for it. Ingratitude leads to complaining. It leads to grumbling. It leads to murmuring. Let me tell your neighbor, I refuse to be ungrateful. Is somebody excited? Is somebody ready to praise God for the few minutes we have? Will you jump to your feet with a shout of praise? He said, clap your hands, O ye people, and shout to the Lord with the voice of thanksgiving. Come on, shout glory! Hallelujah. Now in 1-2 minutes, just say, Father, I thank you. And begin to think in your mind all the things he has done for you. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Just think of his goodness. Think of those times that he spared your life. He preserved you. He delivered you. He healed you. He secured you. Go ahead and he provided for you. All those times that God came through for you. The supernatural help of God. Will you lift up your voice and just begin to appreciate him. Begin to appreciate him. Begin to appreciate him. Father, we are grateful. Unto the Lord be all glory, great things he has done. Unto the Lord be the glory, great things he has done. Oh, unto Jesus be the glory, great things he has done. Unto the Lord be thy glory, great things. Oh, unto Jesus be thy glory. Come on, appreciate him. Come on, worship him with a grateful heart. Be thy glory, great things he has done. Great things he has done. Greater things he will do. Unto the Lord be thy glory, great things he has done. Great things he has done. Greater things he will do. Unto the Lord be thy glory. Oh, great things he has done. Greater things he will do. Unto the Lord. Oh, great things he has done. Greater things he will do. Unto the Lord be the glory. Great things he has done.
Just go ahead and appreciate him for his goodness, for his faithfulness, for his grace, for his mercy. For the first half of year 2024, go ahead and bless him with a grateful heart. Will you celebrate him? Will you appreciate him? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, Oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name.
Sing like never,
sing like never before. Oh my soul,
worship His holy name.
Go ahead and just bless him. Kiloboko sevretila bagidas. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion they fail not.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Agon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.